This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That means you can call 603-283-6160 and get in on the conversation with us. You can bring up whatever's on your mind that you want people listening to, about 150 radio stations across the states to hear. You can change the subject. You can just give us your opinion on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live. That number is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Riley.
And I would like to thank Colby Keddington, who's a silver level amplifier with us. We really appreciate everybody who is an amplifier. That means that Colby went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com, and decided to give us a donation every month for running the show and keeping things on the air, keeping the lights on. And also, if you go to amps.freetalklive.com, you can learn about the perks and benefits you get. So thank you so much to Colby for being an amplifier with us. We really appreciate everyone who does. And on the phones, we have Rob from Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I want to commend that last caller that called in and the work that they're doing. This is fantastic. And you know, I was out myself last night over at the Claremont City Hall, where the council over there removed Representative John Stone from the panel. And it was a 5-3 decision vote. And there must have been, 50, 60 people in there that couldn't get everybody all in the room. It was packed. And the people are upset about all of this. And now that he's out of that role, the next role is to get him out of his seat up in Concord, New Hampshire.
So you said they removed him from the panel. What panel did they remove him from?
He was, the vote was a 5-3 for removing Stone from the Claremont Development Authority and the Policy Committee.
Okay.
And it was effective immediately.
Wow.
And I've just put together a letter that I'm sending off, or that I sent off to the Speaker of the House about this individual. Not sure if I'll get a response back or anything, but this is what we need to do. We need to keep on the pressure with this. Some of the other things that could be done is, you know, people start bringing flyers. And when you go to the city halls or when you go out there to protest, bring flyers with you and share this with the public, and then encourage the public to share this with their friends and family, because it doesn't seem that we're getting enough press on this. You know, the press has kind of been silent about a lot of things, like, for instance, Detective James F. McGoffin, who now works at the county attorney's office in Keene, New Hampshire, part-time as an investigator. That's so wrong. Look this gentleman up on Google in New Hampshire, and you'll see exactly what I'm referring to.
What's his name?
James F. McGoffin.
Yeah, like I said, people fail up in the government, so if you're a terrible creep harming people and you're a cop, you're probably going to just, like, get moved on and up the rest of your career until you're, you know, in charge of things that a creepy, terrible abuser shouldn't be in charge of.
Exactly, and my feeling is that all those individuals, those John Does and Jane Does that are trying to get away from all of this, that are collecting pensions, that the hardworking people of the state of New Hampshire are paying, they can put a stop on those pensions until their issues are resolved. They should not be being paid.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I don't think there should be pensions for any government employees whatsoever. I mean, it's all a scam anyways, the whole pension system. It's all, you know, getting ready to collapse, best I can tell. And, you know, the people today aren't going to see, you know, the people working, you know, right now in their 20s or 30s and their 40s aren't going to see, any pension money like what people are getting for pensions right now. Like, for example, I know of someone who worked for the education system in the state, and their salary, because they have a doctorate and they didn't they weren't a teacher, they were an administrator. Their salary was like $120,000 a year, and now they collect like $84,000 a year in pension. And they weren't a school teacher; they were an administrator. And this is what your school taxes go to pay. And for I think for like every one teacher is being paid right now, there's like four or five that you're paying a pension for. And they say that 80% of your property tax goes towards basically the school budget, and 80% of that school budget goes to service the pensions. And the other thing is the pensions are all serviced first. And I like the idea that in Florida, like, for example, there is no pension for teachers. So that's good, because if you don't have a guaranteed golden parachute retirement program, that means that you're actually going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to save some money and not, you know, be spending your money on all kinds of stupid stuff because you don't have to pay for, a pension. Like, I seen a kid, he's like I see a kid, he's like 24 years old. It was like 10 years ago, and he's got a brand new F-350 pickup truck. He's got a brand new quad in the back, and he had a brand new bass boat hooked to it, and he was telling me he's going to get it, but something about his camper, and he's telling about all this stuff he got, and I'm like, man, living like you're a government employee. And he goes, how'd you know I was a government employee?
Wow.
He goes, I'm a janitor at the Veterans Hospital.
And I just don't really get it, like, why they have to have these crazy, really good retirement programs for every single government employee, whether they're the janitor or, you know, a cop or whatever.
I imagine this is to attract people to the job, because otherwise they wouldn't work with the institution calling itself government.
That's a good point. So it's like, and also like to gain loyalty, like you're not going to like disobey. But thank you for the call, Rob. We do have another caller on the line, so I'm going to go to an unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I called under another question, but listening to the last caller, I believe I can answer some of those questions. The question came up about why these public employees, specifically teachers and education administrators, command these retirement programs, and they are rather generous, I have to admit. Now, specifically in California, they have what's known as a defined benefit rather than a defined contribution. Now, the difference between the two is that the employee is guaranteed a certain amount of money upon retirement. Defined contribution is that the employee gets whatever has been accumulated, and that number will not be determined until he's at retirement age. So that's the difference in those two programs. Now, what happens is that you've got notoriously low wages being paid to these education employees, and to compensate, it's much easier for the school district to administer a retirement plan when you have 50% contribution into it than it is to pay a salary with, you know, medical and so on and so on. So that's why we are
teachers are the only ones that anyone brings up when I point out that no government employee is underpaid. Honestly, I still don't think that teachers are underpaid, but everyone will claim that. But it doesn't matter. The point is that those are the only ones anybody can bring up. No other government employee is underpaid.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, with all due respect. And apparently in the job market, in order to retain quality teachers and have the consistency and instruction within the school district, they have to do
something. Okay, but what I'm saying is it doesn't explain why every other government employee has pension funds that are so generous. That's what I'm saying. It's like
not only the teachers have this generous pension fund, but the teachers' pension fund is the most expensive for the taxpayers.
And it's just a known fact that people, when they're applying for a government job, they're like, get you a government job. They pay well. It's not like I'm just saying like that out of nowhere. I used to live on Dugway Proving Ground, mostly civilian government jobs, government workers. Everybody talks about this, like, oh, you could do that in the public sector, but you'll make way more money if you do the same thing as a government employee.
That's true. I can't argue that point. My only perspective is, you know, from direct knowledge, is with the Teachers Retirement Association in California. So I just put that forward for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I called in was about the governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who recently made news by vetoing the legislation that was going to ban squatters in homes, basically. And she now is on record as having the greatest number of vetoes of legislation within any state, certainly within Arizona, in all time. And the question that's never answered and also is never asked is, well, how many of those vetoes have been overridden by the Arizona legislature? And I cannot find the answer to that question anywhere. I just wanted to, you know, see if you guys knew where some of that information can be obtained.
Unfortunately, no. I don't.
Were you for or against this bill that she vetoed?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just asking, were you for or against this new bill that she vetoed about the squatters?
She's against it. The legislature had put forward legislation that outlawed squatting in single-family homes.
Right.
Just basically gave the homeowner permission to call the sheriff and summarily evict those people. I mean, at the moment, there's no waiting, there's no legal paperwork. The sheriff comes and evicts them. She vetoed that legislation.
Yeah, and the question Bonnie had for you was if you were for or against that particular legislation.
Oh, I'm for that legislation.
Right, that sounds like
agree.
Good legislation.
I would agree.
I don't think anybody's against it but Katie Hobbs.
Well, Katie Hobbs is, you know, she's very much affiliated with the Mexican drug cartels. There's a big deal in, are you in Arizona?
I live in Texas, actually.
Okay. Well, there's a guy. His show is on the LRN.FM network a few days a week. His name's Ernest Hancock. Have you heard of his show, Declare Your Independence?
Don't think I have.
Okay.
But I can definitely look it up.
So go to his website, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and top right, click on Archives. And there, or you can even search his website for Arizona Secretary of State's office cartel land something or another. But anyways, so Katie Hobbs was the Secretary of State, I believe, before she was governor, if I got that correct.
Correct.
And so some woman who's like an insurance actuary came into the Arizona legislature to testify and basically provided these guys with like a 300-something page brief. Every legislator, you know, every whatever representative got one. And she starts going through her thing about how the drug cartels are basically laundering their money through the Secretary of State's office of New Hampshire via buying a whole bunch of single-family homes, because all through Arizona you got these developments, and tons of finished single-family homes, and nobody's living in them, because they're mostly owned, from what this report had to say, mostly owned by the drug cartels, because the drug cartels are parking their dollars in these houses, and they're doing it through these, like, they have the thing called the New Hampshire Trust, which is, you know, being used by like the Sununu and Sheenaheen crime families here in New Hampshire to like launder drug money, fentanyl money and stuff. They call it the New Hampshire drug cartel. These guys doing it. But so they're setting up these trusts the Secretary of State's office authorized these trusts, and then these trusts are buying, you know, thousands of single-family homes with cartel drug money because the cartel's got so much money, so much USD, that they need to do something with it. They can't bring it all back to Mexico because, you know, a lot of Mexico doesn't really want USD. When I was down there with Hart, nobody wanted to accept U.S. dollars. They all wanted pesos.
Wow.
Pesos are cryptocurrency. Anyways, keep that in mind with Katie Hobbs. So, you know, she's been working for the cartel for a very long time, according to this report. And there was a whole Bob Anderson and Ernie Hancock did like a whole 2.5-hour show all about this report. And if you check out freedomsphoenix.com and start searching their website about Katie Hobbs, Mexican cartels and single family homes, you'll find some stuff that would tell you just why Katie Hobbs would want to, keep on allowing, you know, squatters to do the thing.
And unfortunately, I do think that tons of people agree with squatting. I think it's so absolutely mind-blowing that there are people who really believe that they have a right to use someone else's property against their will. It's just like, as soon as somebody wants you out of their house, as long as it isn't breaking any contracts, you should get out and find a new place to live. I just can't wrap my mind around those types of people. Like, there's a person here in New Hampshire.
I don't think most people can, and all the more reason to move to Florida.
I don't know if Florida's the best answer for that, but okay.
Maybe they have better squatter rights. I don't know.
In Florida, they remove the squatters. In fact, there's this guy, Sheriff Judd Grady, I think is his name. He's got a YouTube. He's pretty funny to listen to, but he's always doing these press conferences. And one of them, he was like, well, here in whatever county, you know, you want to make the paperwork easy for us, you know, we encourage you to shoot the guy that walks into your house uninvited. Just kill him dead. And it makes the paperwork a lot easier. You got a right to do that here in Florida. And the taxpayer, and you're going to save the taxpayers a lot of money. And which he's right, you know, that's, Florida's a stand your ground state. They're not putting up with the, with any of the squatter nonsense. And, property values in Florida are going to go up. And, you know, this kind of thing here where if like squatters can just stay in your house, that's really going to drive property values down a lot. And the other problem with Arizona, see, the squatter thing would be a real big issue in Florida because there's so many houses that are basically empty for, you know, 4 to 7 months of the year in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And same thing with Arizona. You got a lot of people from Colorado, Montana, Western Canada.
The snowbirds.
That are Arizona snowboard birds. So they're only in their houses, you know, half the year. And, that's Arizona's going to be a real issue. And then you're going to have a bunch of the, you know, mentally ill, you know, woke libtards, you know, coming out of California into, Arizona to take advantage of this, you know, squatting. And then you got...
Just going to vote and cry about some absolutely terrible person who's not working, squatting in someone's house, getting kicked out. I don't understand feeling bad for those types of people. Like, there's a person that us three in the studio may actually know that is squatting at someone's house right now in New Hampshire just because she received one piece of mail to the house, and apparently that's all it takes in New Hampshire. That really should be overturned.
Definitely changed because that's definitely a violation of property rights.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the caller's question, and thank you for the call, sir. I don't know the answer to his question about how many times the vetoes that this Arizona governor has made, how many times they've been overturned. I don't even know how to look it up or anything. And also, I'm pretty New Hampshire-centric. It's like I care more about what's going on here than the other states, to be honest. So
easier to care about your own neighborhood than focus on Israel or Arizona while you're in New Hampshire. It's just easier to do it that way.
I think it's just morally usually works out better because it's like if you're really worried about what's going on in other people's lives and property, you're probably neglecting something in your own. Things just seem to work that way. Like, if you're really worried about someone else's life, even, you're probably neglecting to see the errors in your own. So, we had brought up this news at the beginning of the segment. This is from ABC News. Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction overturned in New York. the DA will attempt to retry. So it says the rape conviction of movie producer Harvey Weinstein has been overturned by New York's highest court. And you brought this story in, Riley. Do you have any opinions on that?
I just find it interesting. So Harvey Weinstein was the guy that kicked off the Me Too movement. And mm-hmm. it's just interesting that his rape conviction was overturned because, you know, he's probably one of these corrupt dudes. But I'm wondering why. Was there not enough evidence to convict him? I don't remember what the article said. I just know they talked about his conviction being overturned.
Right. I do want to know why it was overturned as well. It's always just kind of interesting why the courts do like these like oddball things that they do sometimes. It says the New York Court of Appeals, in a scathing 3-4 opinion, overturned Weinstein's conviction on sex crimes against three women, finding the trial judge erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged, alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complainants of the underlying crime. So what he's saying is the judge brought in testimony about other acts other than the thing that he was there on trial for. So that kind of makes sense, like, that would definitely poison the jury. It's like in Ross Ulbricht's trial, they were talking about things that he wasn't charged for. They were talking, like the prosecution was allowed to talk about, there was this alleged behavior where it was claimed before that he ordered a hit against somebody. But that was never proven. There was no actual evidence of it or anything. But the prosecution is allowed to talk about it. And to me, that seems to definitely have, like, that would be something that would poison the jury. And he should have his thing overturned just for that. But it's too late now. For Ross, his only chance of getting out of prison now is a presidential pardon.
Which may not happen because, you know, these presidents are all bought and sold by the global elites or whatever you want to call them, or some cabal somewhere. So I don't think Ross is going to be pardoned at all. It's just, so when Harvey Weinstein gets his rape conviction overturned, he gets a new trial, which mm-hmm. is good because then he can have his rights restored or whatever. But at the same time, this gives an opportunity for the people accusing him of rape to actually re-defend themselves,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately they may be re-traumatized by this whole experience too. So I guess the therapists are going to be making some money.
And Harvey Weinstein, very, very connected. He's got dirt on a lot of people. And in order to be an appeals judge in New York, you have to be corrupt. I'm sure in all states, all the judges are corrupt.
They're all just corrupt. We've talked about it all the time here on Free Talk Live. And 603-283-6160 is the number that you can call to get in on Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. Economic growth in the U.S. during the first quarter was significantly slower than expected. The Commerce Department's latest figures show gross domestic product increased by 1.6%, falling short of economists' forecast of a 2.4% rise. The Supreme Court is deliberating whether Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for actions he took while in office. Trump attorney D. John Sauer.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts.
The special counsel attorney argued against absolute immunity. Southwest Airlines announced Thursday it will suspend operations at four major airports due to financial underperformance and Boeing delivery delays. The affected airports include Bush Intercontinental in Houston, Syracuse International, Bellingham International, and Cozumel International. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Riley.
And I'm just going to go right into you guys' phone calls and thoughts. Peter, where are you calling us from, Peter? I forgot to ask.
Hi, yes, I'm calling in from Virginia, and I'm actually driving back home, so sorry if you guys hear a car. But the topic I wanted to talk about, the topic I wanted to talk about was stagflation. And, you know, I'm sure you all know and your audience knows we've been in some sort of stagflation, I would argue. Since.
So what does that exactly mean for the listeners who don't know? Stagflation, are you saying inflation? But what do you mean by what's the beginning part mean?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I should have elaborated. So stagflation basically is the phenomenon where we have low GDP, so low output, low economic output, low production, and we have high inflation. Namely, high consumer prices. And, you know, this is, I would argue, this has been here since, I would say, since since COVID started, since the lockdowns and the whole PPP shenanigans and, you know, COVID relief package that Trump signed off. And, you know, what this basically did was just bid up prices. Unfortunately, you know, we don't have a manufacturing base in this nation. And so, you know, when you give people free money and, you know, they love to buy things with that money, what happens is you have an increase in the trade deficit. But, you know, all this to say you had, right, at that time, more money chasing few goods. And so it just takes time for these things to show up in data. And, you know, government can try to, you know, release and publish their own metrics they use. And, you know, they try to underweigh the true rate of inflation. That's why they like to cite and they like to point to core inflation. Now, core inflation basically is convenient because it takes away two sectors that, you know, people like me and you spend most of our money on, and that's, you know, energy and I believe it's I'm blanking out. I think it's energy and is it food? Or
I think it's food. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah, but we're talking about that yesterday. Yeah. It's food and energy, which is weird that they leave that out.
Exactly, and it's convenient because, you know, it's just gonna. What it does is it understates the true rate of inflation for the given month, or it understates the change of inflation from month to month or year to year, and that's why they love to use it. But, you know, what happened today was the latest number came out, and it was hotter than expected. And so, you know, the inflation is starting to show up even in government's own, you know, predetermined metrics that it uses. And, you know, GDP, I would argue, is a complete fallacy the way it's calculated because, you know, one parameter that's used to calculate GDP is government expenditures. And, you know, I believe we're spending every 3 months about $1.6 trillion. And so, you know, the latest figure that came out today, GDP was 1.6%. So you're telling me it takes $1.6 trillion of government expenditures, right, of spending on nonsense to come up with a GDP of 1.6%. You know, take that away, we're looking at, you know, possibly negative GDP. And so all this to say, we have low output, we have low production, and we have high prices. This is simply stagflation. And, you know, the last time this happened in this nation was throughout the 1970s. And how did we get out of this? Well, it took courage. It took someone called Paul Volcker to come into the Federal Reserve, and it took Reagan to appoint this guy back in the day. And it took Volcker courage to raise the Fed funds rate, at that time, about 8%, 9%, which was really high. And, you know, my parents used to tell me during that time, the mortgage they took out and the current home that they live in was at like 16% for a 30-year fixed mortgage. And so what's going to happen is, you know, the Feds right now, they were talking about cutting, you know, rates because they did it, right? Soft landing, Biden did it, Powell did it, we built back better. We got out of the mess that resulted because of COVID. Inflation wasn't because of government, right? It was because of a supply, you know, shock.
You're saying this is all what they want us to believe, all those things?
Well, that was the narrative they were portraying, right? It was COVID, it was supply shock, you know, it takes time, but at the end of the day, Biden did it, Powell did it. There's no need to worry, you know, don't vote for this Trump guy, you know, Biden did it. Unfortunately, you know, this has been in the making for numerous decades, and as you all know, you know, the heart of this issue lies in 2008, and unfortunately, they didn't allow for a correction. They decided to bail everyone out, and that resulted in massive money printing. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, your viewers are, compared to, you know, day-to-day Americans, are a lot smarter, right? And my opinion, and my recommendation to your audience is to start looking after yourself and your families. You know, if you have any investments in U.S. denominated assets and long-term maturity bonds, for example, it's over. So what happened today was you had a rally in commodities and namely in gold mining. And my recommendation to your audience is to, you know, educate yourselves and commodities and natural resources and stuff like exploration and mining of not just gold, but metals in general. Because believe me, the world will not stop because the U.S. is going through some sort of, you know, depression or stagflation. They will continue. Emerging markets will develop. And in order for a nation, right, to develop, and keep up with production, you know, namely nations outside the U.S., they need natural resources. In order to get resources, you have to explore and you have to, you know, find them. And so take advantage of current cheap prices right now. You know, I'm not saying I'm right, but that's my recommendation. Do your research on this. Look, I am a fan of Bitcoin, but unfortunately, Bitcoin, you can't compare it with natural resources during this time. And the reason why I say that is because natural resources, commodities, they proved to shine during the 1970s. Unfortunately, Bitcoin didn't exist, so we don't have some sort of benchmark, right, to say Bitcoin can do it, Bitcoin can get through this. If you all recall, Bitcoin was at $65,000 a couple weeks ago, and I believe it dipped. It's been dipping ever since. And
I mean, it's only like in the low 60,000s. It goes up and down.
Right, but exactly. But all this to say, right, is that prepare yourselves. It's here. It's been here. My recommendation is, you know, don't vote at all for this new election. It doesn't matter who's in office. We saw what Trump did. He's basically, you know, a fellow Keynesian. You know. I don't see any politician that has the courage to get us out of this mess, and therefore, please, you know, prepare yourselves financially. Look after, you know, all we can do during this time, right, is look after ourselves and look after our families, and not just, you know, mental and physical health, right, but also financial health, and making sure that you know, our kids and anyone close to us is well off and can be, you know, independent of any sort of, you know, assistance from state or the federal government. That's all I wanted to say.
I think that's really good advice. Thank you for the call, Peter. And I agree with him about basically everything that he said. I would say as far as Bitcoin versus gold, it's just they both have their use case.
They do. I mean, I'm a huge fan of both. I have gold. I have Bitcoin.
No reason not to diversify.
Yeah, there's no reason to not diversify. I just think it's important to make sure that, you know, metals are definitely important. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to have metals. I think it's important to have Bitcoin. But also I think it's important to have a moral compass. Because having a moral compass will help you get through tougher times than having assets. Because at least if you have a moral compass, you can have a moral compass guiding your life and making sure that you're not committing violent acts just to survive.
That's a good point.
And to add what that caller had to say, like, one of the things that, you know, if people go to the grocery store, they can see that the price of, you know, food is just steadily climbing higher and higher. So you got a couple of things at work with that. You have, so food, for example, like actual real nutritious, healthy food that is like real whole food is basically very labor intensive, whether it's, you know, lettuce, produce, you know, fruits, vegetables, you know, whatever kind of food that is whole food is very labor intensive. Meat, especially like beef, is going to get real expensive. And what the government is working on destroying beef right now, and in multiple different ways, and they're leaning in there, and the whole,
that's like the evilest thing I've ever heard.
Right. Yeah, they're basically working on destroying beef right now. There is, you can't move cows in, I think, 6 or 7 states. You can't move them across lines because they found bird flu that they're saying has jumped to cattle. And
which is interesting. It's weird to me that bird flu is jumping to cattle.
When did that start? When did they start saying that?
I heard
a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
actually.
I've been saying it for a few weeks. And as soon as I heard him talk about this, I just looked at the market report again for New Holland, Pennsylvania, which is a big livestock auction at the New Holland Stockyards sale stable. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is huge livestock auctions. They have usually on Mondays they have 4 auctioneers going at once. I think they have 5 different auction barns there. There's a big hay auction. It's a pretty awesome place to check out. Anyways, heifer calves that were of the beef breed, day-old calves, are still almost $1,000 a head. The bull calves, the heifer bull calves, are down a little bit this week. But for like the past 5 weeks, They've been over $800, and some of them have cracked $1,000. Now, these are for one-day-old calves. They're just born and then brought to the auction. And
aren't they worth the most when they're one-day-old?
Well, no. No, not well, the most per pound, yeah, basically. But they're, I'm saying, like, these 9,500-pound calves are bringing nearly $1,000 if they look like a beef breed. And now they just got to look like it. They don't even have to be. But usually a beef breed, you know, so that's like a, it'll be like a half Angus or a whole Angus or a Hereford or one of these things. But now they've also, I guess, shut down, and this is Steve Poplar of Poplar Report. He's a guy I listen to on YouTube. He reported that they've shut down the USDA inspectors in a whole bunch of states at these slaughterhouses.
Is that just going to slow things down for the people getting the meat out?
Well, at USDA facilities. And so he was a little vague. He didn't, you know, if you listen to his report, it kind of sounds like it's the whole country, but it's not the whole country. I called a USDA slaughterhouse today, and and they're like, oh, our inspectors are still here. And, you know, it's one in Massachusetts I do business with. And they're like, yeah, we've been hearing about this, you know, bird flu going over to, cattle
made up, man.
And even the guy I talked to at the slaughterhouse, he goes, we know it's all BS, just like COVID.
Interesting.
People who work in the slaughter industry and own like small slaughterhouses and have, you know, are multiple generation farmers and have been getting dirty their whole life. People who work construction, people who have real jobs, people like, you know, where it takes real men to get things done, they're pretty much aware of what's going on. And for the most part, you're not pulling the wool over their eyes. And you know, unless they're like working directly for the federal government or the state government, they hate the government because of all the regulations and all the nonsense. And the thing is, you know, big business like Tyson and Purdue and, you know, those kind of guys, they don't want small family farms. They don't want small family butcher shops.
Of course, they compete with their bottom line.
Right. So this, you know, this bird flu going over to cows narrative that they're pushing now or trying to push, you know, is going to just basically put a lot of little guys out of business in places where they let them get, you know, where they let them do that. Luckily, here in New Hampshire, we got a whole pretty good black market of guys who will butcher cows and pigs right in their backyard.
It's scary and annoying how they, the parasite class, the despots and tyrants, they have discovered this really great play for their playbook of making something a public health crisis, and then they get to do whatever they want.
Right.
Which was
It's easy to have a public health crisis because you can scare the most amount of people with a public health crisis. And when you scare enough people, they're easily controlled because people, when they're afraid, want someone in authority to tell them how to resolve that fear.
And I want to throw this out there. I'm not a member of the public. The term public, when I look at it, it means to me a private cult religion is basically what it is. And, you know, this idea of that, you know, of public, is everyone who's in the public belongs to this, basically this private religion from what I can tell.
It's absurd to think that you're just in it. Just collectivism is absurd. But Jet, I know you have a lot of things to say about this conversation here. What's on your mind, Jet?
Well, I wish I could bring a more intellectual or higher intellectual topic to the table, but the reason I'm calling in tonight is because there's a panel. The three of you, I believe, are more, I guess, siding with my perspective on how we use terms when referring to, you know, these parasites and other things.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe 15 years ago that I first felt enlightened about the fact that when we use certain terms, they generate certain psychological responses within ourselves and with other people we talk to.
Right.
And I have since then told everyone, please, government, because it doesn't exist. They're only groups and gangs of people willing to do harm against you if you don't.
It broke up a little bit. I just want to clarify for the listeners what you said. You said, please don't use the word government, right?
Yeah. But I've come to model that a little bit over the years. You know, that wall of terms, I think I sent in, like I said, maybe 15 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that I thought I'd probably persuade you guys into is to use the term government, if you will, only as an adjective. So when you're referring to something that is within these gangs and groups, if you want to use the word government, it might be easier for you to meet it as an adjective, you know, government goons,
right.
City, county, state, whatever.
I don't always remember, but I do think it's a very, very good tool for us to explain things to people. It does give them a psychological, you know, response in their head. They're like, wow. It immediately
city gang.
Conveys something. Right.
City parasite.
It immediately conveys something to someone, even if they've never thought of these things this way.
Well, yeah, the whole concept, I think Jay brought to the table, you know, more or less the parasite thing. I included that, but to be able to elaborate on that, the fact is they are extracting the blood of the people to be able to support their own nonsense. I mean, there's so much corruption in every level of this thing, these groups and gangs. It's just amazing if anybody looks into it. I mean, money, somebody gets into a certain position. I read recently about how their daughter at age 22 decided to create a nonprofit organization, and the person in charge of this one area just kind of funneled about $3 million into that brand new, you know, nonprofit thing. So he essentially instantly made a millionaire of his daughter. Now, one of the goon things that's kind of interesting happening today is, I don't know if you can heard about that fellow out in Indiana, officer Schimmel or Shizzle, whatever his name is.
Oh, no. So Indiana, there was a cop name, and what happened with him?
Well, he pulled over this 18-year-old girl, and she cracked her window down about 2 inches. He got real great about that, and at some point, you know, lost his, I think it was about a minute and a half into it, he lost his thing, opened the door, pulled her out, slammed her face down onto the cement. And this is one of the fastest situations where he was actually fired here this last week or whatever it was.
Wow.
This happened in January, so about 3 months. Initially the city council supported his action as proper and procedural, that kind of nonsense. But anyone could tell by all the cameras, the gas station camera and his car dash cam, that it was just over the top. I mean, she didn't break anything. She didn't get cut up or anything like that. But still, this is what's really fun about YouTube and all that, where we can get the word around and we can eliminate these goons, these crazy people who dress up in uniform and then just go out and constantly abuse everybody else under the guise and under the of wanting to serve you, serve the blank out of you is what it comes out. Have you seen that meme?
No, but I get it. Yeah, the government, I mean, the police cars have to protect and serve on the side of them, so, yeah.
Oh, this particular police force had blue line across the police on their car. They had blue line on their badges.
Hmm.
They had a Punisher badge.
Oh, my goodness.
On.
Wow.
So that's a skull icon, and it represents this movie called The Punisher, where there's a guy that, you know, he goes and he does vigilante justice, and tons of cops love this guy. It's so obvious that they think of themselves as, you know, like they're like a superhero. They have to go after the bad guys. It's really weird, honestly.
It's kind of gross. It's like they're trying to They're trying to justify their own actions.
They are. Like the Uvalde, the Uvalde, Texas cops that wouldn't go save the children's lives during that shooting in the elementary school. There was videos of this one guy that was standing there on his phone in the hallway while the shooting was happening and not, you know, helping him. By this one guy, I mean a police officer. And it shows his phone, and his background on his phone is the Punisher. That's his, like, background. Well, yeah, I pulled up this article about the police officer. I'm glad this guy got fired. It's kind of a bit surprising because although it is absolutely ridiculous that he has her on the ground, this like small teenage girl who clearly is, you know, doesn't have the ability to fight back. He put her on the ground, handcuffed her, picked her up by one arm, and that can't be good. Not can't possibly feel good, you know. But yeah, I'm just honestly surprised that this one guy got fired. It's just like this is absolutely bad what he did, but it's just kind of surprising because honestly this is pretty normal for what cops do all around the country.
So probably what this cop will do, there's a cop and a bunch of cops are doing this, is actually I talked about a couple weeks ago, a correctional officer at this Sununu Youth Center did this. What this cop will do is he'll sue the city or the town or the state for, say he has PTSD,
wow,
post-traumatic stress syndrome from all of the harassment he's received.
Wow.
And then he'll get a settlement from basically the state or the city or whoever. And then they'll probably be in this settlement. He'll be immune from prosecution. Which they're all pretty much immune from prosecution anyways with the, you know, qualified immunity nonsense that should not exist.
Shouldn't.
That's another thing that attracts bad actors is qualified immunity.
Not having to face up any repercussions for their bad acting. Yeah. Well, thank you for the call, Jay. I do definitely try to remember. I think I've been doing it pretty often recently where I start talking about the
tyrants.
Government people.
Yeah.
And then I start calling them tyrants. And my favorite one is parasites. It's just like...
It rolls off the tongue and it definitely explains who these tyrants, despots, thieves... vermin are.
Vermin. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation with us. We do have someone on the line holding, and we will get to you guys' calls in the next segment. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's DanPilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.